Hello, this is Father Mike Walker of Father Mike's Podcast, Father Mike's Bible Study Podcast, and the Catholic Combine, the pastor of St. Cecilia Catholic Church in Beaverton, Oregon. If you would like more information about the parish or the podcast, please feel free to email me at frmikewalker@gmail.com. And now, today's podcast. And once again, the word Advent means coming. And the season of Advent is to prepare for Christ's coming. And there are three specific ways that we look at that coming. And the first has to do with what happened 2,000 years ago when Jesus came as Jesus of Nazareth being born to us. The second coming that we focus on is his coming in the present. In particular, word and sacrament, what we do here at Mass with the word of God that we just heard proclaimed, and the liturgy of the Eucharist, which we also will receive in the second half of our celebration at the Mass. So it's concerned with the present coming of our Lord. And the third is Jesus coming in the fullness of time when there's the new heavens and the new earth, and all things are renewed in him, and we look forward to that third coming. And as we do all of this, we have some different heroes that are to help us along the way. One of those is John the Baptist, and we heard about him last week as well as this week. And then next week, we have Mary. And the reason is because they had something very unique in the way that they help us to prepare for the coming of Jesus. John the Baptist, because he was the greatest of all prophets, in Jesus' own words, and he helps us to prepare for the coming of Jesus as he did his own people at that time. And also Mary, because next week she will be the focus, and Mary prepared in a very intimate way as she held the child within her for those 9 months before Jesus was born. Now, last week we had the introduction of St. John the Baptist, and it talked about him as being one who went to baptize people. It was a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So it's different than our baptism. John's baptism was to help people to come to understand their need for conversion and to be able to go through this ritual of baptism for repentance and forgiveness of sin. So at that point, they would be open to the ways of the Lord. And today, there's a continuation of that. And I don't think it's incidental that at the very end, it says John the Baptist preached the good news, you know, the good news of the coming of Jesus. But the way he did it was not passive. It wasn't like we just are passive receivers of the Lord and we don't do anything, but we're active participators in the ways of the Lord so that when he comes, that we are able to receive him fully. And today, John the Baptist is continuing that by talking about our moral and ethical lives and how that's an important part of the good news that we share. One of the ways that I think we make a mistake when it comes to moral and ethical life, it has to do with globalization to a certain extent, because it used to be, you know, a couple thousand years ago that people had a very disconnected sense of what was going on worldwide. There wasn't the communication back then that they have now. And so now it's very easy for people to think that I'm a moral and ethical person because I'm involved in various forms of global activism. But the problem with that is that there's a disconnect with our personal lives and our own personal decisions, because what we're basically doing by being involved in the globalization of all things moral and ethical is that we don't really have to do anything. We just have to have opinions, and we somehow think that our opinions are somehow moral or they give us some sort of virtue. But that's not really the case, because there's no real personal investment when it comes to that kind of living. It doesn't mean that we're not concerned about global and worldwide things, because we are, but it does mean we have what they call spheres of influence that are much more connected at the local level than the global level. So to give you an explanation of this, so as a priest, I have some degree of influence over the local church here at St. Cecilia. That is my primary place of influence. And what I say and what I do and the decisions that I make have some sort of bearing on what happens here at St. Cecilia. Now, I have some influence when it comes to what happens at the Archdiocese. I'm on different committees and groups and things like that. I have some influence, but, I mean, to be honest, not much. You know, and it's always funny, I think, when people say, Father, you need to tell the Archbishop this and that, you know, as if somehow he's going to listen to everything I say and do whatever I say. And it's just not the case. You know, the Archbishop has his plan and his mission, his vision, and part of my role as a priest is not to convert him to my plan, but to, you know, be obedient to his plan and his mission and vision, and so that's part of what I do as a priest. But the idea of the influence I have in the Archdiocese, well, a little bit, you know. Okay, now, the worldwide church, not much at all. I actually find it a little comical, some of the priests that are kind of into all the church politics, you know, because they know all the names of all the cardinals and all the inner workings and stuff like that. I don't even know the names of these people. And I have friends of mine that they're talking, what about this one and what about that one? And I'm like, I don't even know who these people are. And part of it is I don't really see much point in having a huge investment in those things since it doesn't really make much practical difference when it comes to my ministry as a priest. Of course, I need to know what's going on, that Pope Francis, like the Archbishop, has his mission and his vision, and it's my role as a faithful Catholic and priest to be able to understand that and to be able to articulate it. And so it's part of the worldwide church that I live in, but on the other hand, it's not like I just give Pope Francis a call and say, you know, hey, Frank, I got an idea here, and I want to share it with you. I actually did have a case once where there was a parishioner a few years ago that came up to me and they wanted me to tell the Pope all these things. And I'm like, well, I have no idea how to reach the Pope, even if I wanted to. You know, so there's what they call those circles of influence. And the farther you get away from that, the less influence you have in life. But it's no different than all of you, that you all have circles of influence. And probably your greatest circle of influence would be the people that are closest to you. It would be your local situation, your own family, your workplace, maybe it'd be your friends, you know, but that's where you're going to have the vast majority of influence. And it's also where the vast majority of anything that you do for Christ is probably going to take place. Now, the reason why I'm talking about this is I do not think it's an accident that John the Baptist answers these different people in the way that he does. So, first of all, he's talking to the crowds. And as he talks to the crowds, they say, what do we do? You know, and a good question. All right, if we're repenting, we're converting, we're receiving that baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, the next question is, okay, what now? What do we do? And so he tells the crowds, you know, well, if you have two coats, share them. If you have some food, share them. With who? Well, the people around them. And so what he's telling the crowds is, be aware of the people around you and their needs. And it's easy for us to kind of have blinders to the people around us and to be living in an isolated world. But we really, part of the Christian experience is we are concerned with our brothers and sisters who are around us. And so he's just saying, basically, be generous with the people and be attentive to their needs so that you can respond in a way that is helpful. And, well, that's a good lesson because there are people in need around us. I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but sometimes even your closest friends, they may be going through a very difficult time, but because we're not asking questions and we're not as involved in their lives as we should be, we miss the opportunity to really minister to them in a great way. Or sometimes people are in need for one thing or another, and we only find out about it later. And granted, I guess they have a responsibility to let us know, but many people just don't. And so it's good for us to, you know, be involved in a way where we are sharing and caring to the point where they feel they can open up to us around the different needs that they have and the concerns that we have for them, that we could actually do something to help them. And so anyway, I think that's important, you know, the local level of generosity, because really that people are in need around us, but it can be easy for us to miss out on that opportunity. All right, so the next one he mentions are tax collectors. Okay, well, great, the tax collectors are all converting, so yeah, we'd love to hear that. But anyway, there's a certain reason why he tells them what he does, because in the ancient world, tax collectors earned the greatest portion of their income by charging people more than what they should be charged and then keeping the difference. You know, so it's basically like a built-in embezzling that happened. So, for example, if Deacon Rowley here, I'm a tax collector, he owes me $100 in taxes, and I say, okay, you need to pay $150 in taxes or I'm going to turn you into to the military. And so he goes, okay, and he gives me $150. So I pay the Romans, they're 90, and instead of just keeping 10, I'm going to keep the $60, you know, because it helps make me richer in the context of that. And so what he tells the soldiers is don't keep more, you know, don't charge more than what you're owed. You know, well, okay, I guess if we're going to, most of us aren't tax collectors and we're not involved in these kind of schemes, but it is true that sometimes we kind of take an approach that somehow we deserve more than others, and we try to get what we can and keep what we can, and even if we don't even need it. There's a what do they call, smorgasbord, a chuck wagon kind of place, all you can eat, you know, those kind of restaurants. Well, there's one in Southern Oregon that I went with a friend of mine once, and when we went in there, he's like, well, they're not making any money off me. And anyway, I kind of had the same approach, you know. And let me just say, if you're going to do all you can eat kind of food, maybe sushi isn't the best thing to do. But regardless of that, you know, it's like that attitude that's like, it's all about me and who cares about everyone else. And I was talking with the seminarian Andy on the way here, you know, in Beaverton, we have a million speed bumps everywhere. Well, the reason why we have a million speed bumps is because there are people who don't care about anyone else and they're going to speed regardless. And so they put the speed bumps in to try to force everybody to do something that we all should do by our own free will, you know, and it's because, well, okay, everyone else needs this, you know, to kind of drive this way, but not me because I'm special, right? And people kind of approach ethics and morals in this way very often, that they'll say, well, everyone else needs to do something, you know, but for some reason, I'm special. And we've always got a reason why we're special and no one else is, you know. But anyway, I think the whole point of this is to kind of look at our lives and see where it might be that we're a little more entitled than we should be, and we're not concerned with other people, and we want to grasp and claim for ourselves what we're not willing to share with others, or think that somehow that they don't have access to something. And just because you can take something doesn't mean you should. You know, like just like in the small things in life. As a priest, I've got access to all these different things that I can take. You know, I can take mileage, I can take mass and stipends, I can take vacations and pilgrimages and all these sort of things. And I take what I think I need, but I don't take everything because I don't think I need everything. You know, and maybe it's that way with us as well. You know, just kind of think about those things in our lives that maybe we're being a little excessive about or being a little clingy to, and it's like, well, I have a right to this, and somehow that means that I should take it just because I can. So anyway, I think that's another thing he was talking about. All right, now let's look at the soldiers, because there were three things that John the Baptist talks about with the soldiers. The first thing he says is don't extort. Okay, well, why would he say that? Okay, well, in that time, there weren't police. And so soldiers were also the active police force in a sense, but they had a lot of leeway in the way that they could enforce things. And because of that, they could go up and burst into someone's house and they could just take whatever they want if they wanted to. And so John the Baptist is just saying, you know, don't use your power and your position to extort other people. Now, I suppose to a certain extent, we're not soldiers breaking into people's houses and taking whatever we want because we can, because we have a sword in one hand. It's maybe a little more subtle. I think maybe in our cases, it's more the psychological, you know, or the social pressure that we can exert over someone. Now, when we were kids, we used to do it this way. It's like, can I have your candy bar? And they're like, no, it's my candy bar. I'll be your best friend. I don't know, maybe I was the only one who used to have those. But anyway, they used to say that kind of stuff, right? Basically, what you're doing is you're trying to manipulate someone to get something when really it's kind of an abuse of power or position or authority. And so sometimes it's in the workplace that we can use position and power to try to manipulate people, or maybe it's in our social situations and our friendships. But it's just, I think that's a great lesson, though, You know, don't extort people and apply some sort of pressure over them to get what we want when really it's not moral or ethical to do it, you know. And so we all have to kind of maybe think about that in maybe the smaller ways and not the huge ways. So the next one is, he says, don't falsely accuse someone. Well, because the soldiers could do that. They could falsely accuse someone, and that way they could get whatever they wanted, because who's going to believe the person when the soldier's saying this? Well, that was a way that they would gain additional income, and they could pillage people's goods and things like that. Well, in a similar way, you know, we've all at some time in our life have been accused of things that were not true. And sometimes we laugh it off because it's so ridiculous. But other times, you know, there's no way to prove you didn't do something. And so even though you didn't, it's like, well, how are you going to prove you didn't? Anyway, that kind of gossip that goes out there is really destructive. And sometimes it's just mean-spirited. So I think that just means that one way we don't falsely accuse people is trying to really do our best not to enter into gossip and especially tear people down through that. And so anyway, that was the second thing. And then the third thing that John the Baptist mentions, he says, be satisfied with your pay. All right, well, I suppose that we all deserve more than we get. Well, at least that's how we think of it usually. But really, there is a great value and virtue in actually being content about things. Because if you're always envious and jealous of others and you think that you deserve more, then you kind of live a bitter existence, and that's not really a good way to live if you're trying to live in the peace of Christ. So it doesn't mean that you don't talk to your boss and say, hey, I really think I am worth this much, and that doesn't mean that you're not able to kind of have ambitions in life. But what it does mean is that you're not like lusting or envious or jealous to the extent that you're living in a sense of agitation or anxiety because you don't have what you want, and so therefore you've got a certain greed that kind of settles in the heart, you know, and that's not a good way to live. You know, we are so blessed in this world at this time that there's never been a generation that has been as rich as we are in all of human history. Yet sometimes we can still kind of take that, you know, I'm such a victim and I'm this, you know, but yeah, it's good for us to be realistic about these things. Now, when John the Baptist talks about these various ways for the crowds and for the tax collectors and the soldiers, you can see that his answers apply very, very much to us as well. And you'll also notice that it's in the people's immediate situation that he's talking about. And so I think that's a great lesson for us, that as we look at the good news of our Lord, it truly is good news. It's not something that we just sit back and passively receive, but it's something that we live according to. And one of the ways we do that is in our moral and ethical lives. And it's not just something that's an ideal or a wish that we have, but it's something that we can actually make a practice and do in our day-to-day lives. And so maybe in this week we can look at some of those different areas and say, okay, well, how can I live the gospel, live the, you know, the good news of our Lord, in a way that brings joy to my life and joys to others, just by a simple moral and ethical living, which really is based in the Christian mindset. It's a great way that we can really prepare for the coming of our Lord in our own lives and then help those around us as in the process as we do that. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. May God bless you and be with you as you live out your faith and serve the Lord this week.